I had to do it. He was murdering children and sacrificing them by drowning them in a lake. How could I possibly live with myself if I allowed that to continue? Sure, Vistani has wronged us, but they're not some coherent entity. They're people. And people just like us, with hopes and dreams and fears, doing whatever they can to survive. So was Bluto, in his own twisted way. I hate what this place is doing to me. Lathander feels further away than ever. Will he forgive me for what I did? I didn't even face that man when I killed him. Just like a coward. Just like me. This is Red Moon Role Play.
Night has finally begun to fall as you stand there, Roman, in this area now full of the dead. Roshek, you are finishing up your searching of the bodies. You come to the final one, the one in a cloak, and you are intrigued to see his features are not like the others. He does not have a beard, he is not wearing colourful clothing. He has long elven ears and a similar dusky complexion to an individual you remember from before, although it is not that man.
Too bad. Would have been nice to add him to the list, I think to myself. But then again, we might have been, well, not doing quite as well as we did if it would have been him.
I look at my friend, at Roshek. Is he wounded? Does he look to be in need of attention?
He took a few scrapes by the looks of it, and you notice there seems to be a festering around the wounds. It doesn't seem to be affecting him, though, so if you recall him saying poison, he must be toughing out the poison.
Yes, I walk away from the body of the man that I just killed in cold blood from behind. I think I did the right thing, but how could that be the right thing? I question what I've done, but I hope the consequences will justify what I did. I walk up to Roshek and I hold up my holy symbol, the symbol of Lathander, of the Morning Lord, and I let its light envelop him and heal his wounds, and I channel divinity, and I heal 30 hit points.
Roshek, you feel greatly invigorated as this holy energy closes those wounds and the stinging sensation vanishes completely from your wounds.
I feel the tension just leaving my body, and I nod towards Roman, still not used to this fantastic sensation of healing. I haven't traveled with clerics before. And I nod down to the man in front of me and I say, "Another elf, like the pale one we met before, if you remember."
I do. The elves here. I wonder under what circumstances they live. If they have obviously been enslaved by the devil, by the Count, as well. I wonder, were they likely living in this realm when it was moved here, or however things ended up in this way? I try to catch the attention of Van Richten.
As he says this, I follow his glance as well, both looking at him at the same time.
Van Richten comes over quickly. You notice Esmeralda by the horses now, getting everything ready again and securing the wagon. He looks at you and frowns. I do not see the point of his diversion, to be honest with you. But I suppose killing some of his minions means they will not be a problem later. Still, we should be moving on quickly now.
Yes, we shall. I meant to ask you about this elf here. The elves in Barovia. What, under what circumstances do they exist here? And are they too servants of the Count? We came across one earlier.
Well, I had not seen too many of them, if I am honest. I believe, from what I heard in Valakai during my time there, that there are a small group of them with the Vistani near Valakai. They keep mostly to themselves.
Curious. Well, let us not linger here. If the man who escaped us is calling for help, it will be here, I suspect, sooner rather than later. So, your instincts are correct. Let us get out of here and let's get somewhere where we can get some rest. Darkness is falling.
Pouring some wine over a wound that I had, I take a bite out of a piece of dry cheese that I found as well, and I nod, get up on my feet, and start moving towards the horses.
And you begin to move back to the horses and begin to resume your journey, although it's only a few minutes before Rudolf remarks, "I believe the time has come. You two need to get in the back. Esmeralda will tie your horses together and we will... I suppose we can come up with a story that I'm coming to sell horses in town. That would make sense."
I like this. I have sort of been looking forward to being around this magnificent beast a bit more. It's going to be cramped, but still. I stop my horse.
I, on the other hand, is slightly less... looking forward to this intimate encounter with this powerful and very, very dangerous being. But, I put my trust in Lathander and in the skills of Van Richten in keeping this beast in check.
Indeed. And you are, with a little bit of movement, readied and placed into the back of the wagon. You immediately find your quarters very cramp. There is, after all, a large saber-toothed tiger currently right with you. But you do find some places where you can sort of stand. You also notice, Roshik, immediately, that there are a few little slits in the side of the wagon. They're quite thin, but if you peek through them, you can see a little bit of the outside of the wagon and what's going on around you, should you want to know what's going on. You get yourselves as comfortable as possible, and Van Richten calls out from the front of the wagon, "Are you ready to travel?"
I nod to myself in approval, finding these slits, and I thump the wall 2 times.
Roman, what do you do?
Yes. Ready, I say.
And the wagon begins to lurch forwards. The journey is bumpy and very uncomfortable. The Mishka notices you a few times, Roman, and growls in a very territorial fashion. But she seems slightly less aggressive towards you, Roshek, merely ignoring you, or at least abiding your presence as you journey like this for an hour or so.
I don't challenge that. I'm not trying to become friends with her anymore. I just sort of enjoy being in her presence.
What about you, Roman?
I close my eyes and I whisper prayers to Lathander. I pray for this journey to go well and for us to be able to find a safe place to stay the night. I am in need of my powers. I am completely spent, and yes, there are so many dangers in this realm, and Lathander is so far away.
Indeed. And it's not long before you feel the wagon stop, and you hear the sound of voices outside. You can't quite hear everything, but you manage to get the gist. You are being questioned. Why have you come to the gates? And there is some murmuring, talk of horses, some sounds of agreement, and you can see you are being now let into the gates of Valakai, with only one guard at the gate this time, you notice Roshek rather than before, where there are at least two or three. Still, you feel yourself rattling in, and as night has truly fallen, you are now within the walls, once again, of Valakai.
After the recent, what shall we call it, stirring up of things that we did there, I'm not surprised they would be even a bit more hesitant towards letting people in. But at the same time, I guess the guard's strength might have been weakened. Might not be as safe for neither us nor the townspeople here anymore. But I try to keep an eye out and see what's happening around the wagon.
You begin to move back into the town. You remember the road you're on. There was only one main road. You immediately notice the first difference, though, Roman. You see the church coming up. And there is no light from its windows this time. It is dark. The rafters have been damaged. Fire damage. You just hear silence and see the windows broken of the church as you pass by.
It is as I feared. What did we do? What did we do?
As I see this as well through the slits, I'm a bit surprised that that would be the building they chose for a distraction. Why the church? Doesn't seem very... No, I don't know. Somehow that gives me chills.
Indeed, and you continue on for a few more moments. You notice, Roshek, another difference. Posters. There are none. The walls of some of these buildings were once covered in that goddamn festival advertising it, and even older ones as well. Every single one has been torn down. Now there is nothing. In fact, you see little activity on the roads. A few people passing by quickly, but there are far less. You do not see any of these masks either. You do notice, though, briefly, a group of men in hoods, black hoods covering their faces, walking silently along.
Yeah, I'm not sure what festivals did for these people, if they actually raised their spirits. I whisper this to Roman, if these festivals actually raised their spirits, or if they actually, were just the oppressive thing that we thought.
Yes, I wonder. Let us see what we can find out when we reach the inn and can perhaps ask what has really happened here.
You feel a bit of a jutter as the wagon moves along a little more, and you finally feel you're coming close to the inn, though again you get a good view of the town square. And there are the gallows, Roman, although there are only two bodies swinging from ropes with those donkey head masks on their faces.
Do I recognize the clothes of the people hanging there, or can I determine somehow who they might be?
Of course you recognize the clothes. You know who they are. You saw them in the dream, after all. That must be the mayor, and you guess his wife.
Yes. Of course. That is the decision that we made. That is the choice that we made, and that is the consequence of it. Naturally.
And you also look beyond and just see the outline of the house. And you notice the entire upper floor seems to be open now to the elements. There was some sort of damage to the building. It's hard to tell as you go along. Fire damage? But you can clearly see almost like a hole. A massive hole covering the whole top of the mansion. As if maybe something exploded. Again, like your dream?
Yes. Was I here? Was I here when it happened, or did I see it from afar? How is that possible? Who showed me that? Markovia?
Are you saying that to yourself, or are you thinking it?
I'm whispering it aloud, loud enough that you would hear it, but not hopefully loud enough to reach outside of the wagon.
What do you mean?
I saw this place, I saw when it happened. It was shown to me in the dream. I was here. I
saw my son here.
Your son? You have a son?
I do have a son. I believe I showed you the crossbow that was his, but he is gone, and he is dead, and seeing him here is not something that would be possible, but, well, it was probably just a dream, but what happened here, it matches with what seems to have happened in reality. That is peculiar and very, very unsettling.
I had forgotten about that crossbow, I think to myself, and his son. And then I say, a lot of things here seem to make their way into our minds and our dreams. I keep having dreams too about what we're doing here. I don't usually dream much. I never used to dream at all, really.
Do you, in your dreams, do you see that what we're doing is good? Are we following what Lathander would want us to do? Are we doing the right thing, Roshek? Because I'm not sure that we're doing the right thing.
Yes, if there's something I keep hearing is that we're doing just the right thing, and that we're doing good, and we're following the right path.
And perhaps Lathander is speaking to you. I will choose to believe that. I will choose to believe that, I say. But I do not believe that at all.
I don't believe that at all either. But I say, I'm sure he does.
Ed, you notice the wagon has stopped, and there is again some commotion outside. Looking around a little, you can't quite see, but you can just about make out the details of some men now standing in front of the wagon, although only a few. You do, however, hear a familiar voice. The voice of the old man. Yes, you recognize that slightly weaselly tone he had. And he seems to be saying, "Ah, Rectavial, we did not think to see you again. I should warn you, friend, there is no more... there'll be no more festivals for the future. Your circus antics will not be needed." And you hear Rudolph. Again, he's obviously by this point disguised himself as Rictavio. "That is a pity. Do not worry, though. I am here to do some horse business. I do not recall you being... Where is that intimidating fellow who runs the guard?" "Ah, Izek! No, you do not need to worry about him anymore, friend. I am the new marshal of Valakai. Yes, yes, no, Izek, some brigands killed him, can you believe it? Oh, well, no one will miss him. But no, things are different now here, so I imagine you'll be on your way soon." You feel a bit uncomfortable for a moment as you notice how late it is, and you miss a bit more conversation, but then you tune in again, and you hear again they're talking loudly. "Very well, Rectavio, just be on your way soon, yes? After all, Lady Wachter is now Burgomaster of Valakai, and things are going to be very different from now on." And again some conversation, and you feel the wagon start to move, although you then notice Esmeralda speak out and go, "What happened at that house over there? What caused such damage?" And you hear Ernst say, "A good question. We're not very sure. The sun, something happened, explosion. I suppose it saved him from the gallows. Still, I think he deserved the fate. After all, he'd always been meddling in things he didn't understand. And isn't that what should occur to young men and women who meddle in things they don't understand? Death. Yes, I think so. Good riddance." And you hear him spit. Roman, how does that statement make you feel? Do all young men and women who dabble in things they don't understand deserve death?
No, of course not. Of course not. When we are young, we are foolish and we make mistakes. No, that is not in any way an acceptable thing to say, and it stings in my heart because of what my family went through and how I lost them. And I realize that this is a man who I have empowered. It is because of my actions that these thoughts are now in power in Valakai. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that we did not make things better, at least not in Valakai.
Indeed. And Roshek, you would take note of that as well, because two bodies are hanging. But yes, there was mention of a son. You remember saying something about him. You guess he is gone as well.
Yeah, he was reading in lots of books. And the mayor was complaining about it. I remember that. Ah, I don't know. They probably all had it coming for them anyway.
And conversation seems to finally come to a close and the wagon begins to move on. And you notice yourself, after a bit more conversation, being placed in a stable. And then after a long pause, the doors are opened. Van Richten pokes his head in and frowns at the pair of you. Well, we are here. I do not know if it is wise for you to venture out of the stable and into rooms. You might cause attention to yourself, but it's up to you. We are now in the inn. Erwin knows we are here and says that we are safe, although there's not many of his kin around, I notice. I'm sure he can explain that to you. For now, though, we have a room me and Esmeralda will be sharing, and it's up to you what you do with your evening. But yes, be wary. The tavern seems to be being watched.
Well, wine, a hot meal, and perhaps some news would be good. Aside from that, rest.
Yes, yes. It is best that we remain here as long as we can get some food and, yes, perhaps something to make us a little bit more comfortable here. We should be able to get the rest that we need to continue our journey in the morning. And I, too, am very curious to hear from Mervyn, hear what has happened here, and, well, what he thinks about the future of the city of Valakai.
Yeah, I mean, we have made progress as well, so why not report it? And I nod towards the amulets, probably now hanging around your neck.
Van Richten nods and simply leaves you. If you get out of the wagon, you'll lock it up. Mishka cannot roam free, because unfortunately she's not that housebroken. And you find yourself in the stable, and you know the way to the inn from the stable, if that's where you wish to go.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Probably stick to the walls, and obviously don't want to attract any attention.
Yes.
You feel that won't be too difficult, because as you enter the inn, you notice there is no one there. The doors seem closed, and the windows have been shuttered up, and the curtains have been drawn. There's only a single candlelight at the main bar, as it were. You notice Erwin, and he comes over and nods to the pair of you.
Put you out of business, did we? I ask to him as I nod back.
He smirks a little and nods. Yes, my friends, we are closed tonight. Not many customers at the moment. Since the festival. It'll take much time to recover, and I do not have time to wait. I have sent the children ahead and many of our brethren. Only me and my wife remain, and as soon as possible we shall be leaving. There is a great hunt now for people like us, people trying to stand against Strahd and the devil. It's not safe here anymore for them.
You're abandoning Valakai?
Yes. Their vineyards, we've heard they need help as well, and we will be heading there to assist the family as best we can.
This Lady Vakta that is now in power, does she serve the Count? Does she serve Strahd?
He scoffs a little and shrugs. Of course she does. Probably, I do not really know. She does not exactly serve. It's, let us say, it is no longer popular to stand against the devil. Since his appearance, the people merely wish to survive, and they wish to survive by not angering him. And so, once again, Valakai will be a town that merely abides his rule and makes no trouble. That is the new saying in Valakai, do not make trouble, lest he come again.
What did you mean he made an appearance? Did he appear in the town?
He nods slowly. Yes, on the day of the festival. He came, they attacked the church, and they killed everyone inside, including the priest. And he proclaimed his judgment on the land. He proclaimed his amusement and then anger that we could defy him. And that was that. Shortly after, the townspeople rallied against the burgomaster. They blamed him for the deaths. They blamed him for all the troubles that have occurred that he has not stopped. And yes, you've seen, I'm sure, what happened to him. Lady Vakta is now the new burgomaster.
Well, I suppose we did expect some change to take place. Well, for us at least it meant we got out of town and we were able to set out doing what we were meant to be doing. We've located the two artifacts that we were looking for.
Is that so?
But unfortunately the blade is guarded by some sort of, I don't know, undead. This Knight of the Silver Dragon sort of order. And they won't let us have it back unless we shine the light of the sun on the place. I sound very non-convincing when saying all this, sort of looking to Roman for help.
Yes, we must put them to rest, bring back the remains of their leader. Those remains now can be found at Castle Ravenloft, and that is where we shall go.
Wait, you are going to the castle? Friends, I do not understand. Why do you need to go to the castle to help get this sword? That sounds very unwise to me, friends. You are going straight to his lair. He will kill you.
We're not intending to fight him now, but we need to recover some sorts of artifact from the leader of the Silver Knight. What were they called? What was his name again?
It was Argenvost, and it was the Order of the Silver Dragon.
Argenvost, yeah. And we need to recover his artifact, his amulet, his jewel. It was a shining white jewel. I saw it on a painting. And that's what we need to restore the light. We have heard that through what we made out from the books, that there should be somewhere for us to escape once we've retrieved this gem.
Van Richten has come and joined you, and you notice the wife has brought out some food, which you can begin to eat as you talk. Owen nods. He looked quite mystified at most of the stuff you are telling him, though. I see, friends, I have Argenvost Holt. Yes, legends speak of the place. It is a dread place, though I'm amazed you entered and came out alive. Apparently, most people do not.
Well, it was a close call, I say, and I scratch my shoulder.
But I will trust in your judgment, I suppose, and this friend of yours, Rectavio. Although you are full of mysteries, Mr. Rectavio, I never would have expected it. The amount of weeks you were here before, and Rectavio responds,
I've had to keep myself incognito, as it were. Unfortunately, I feel time soon will not be very good for that anymore. But yes, we need to get these individuals to the castle. Get this item and get out. That is the mission.
Yes.
Mm. And I eat and drink eagerly, having relayed this news.
And you eat and at least feel some comfort, although you notice the wife go to the windows and peek out for a moment, and she frowns and remarks,
ugh. So many of those damn cult followers are getting ready in the town square. There are going to be more of them, Erwin. And Erwin goes, yes, I know, my darling. He turns to you. One of the reasons we will be leaving soon. Lady Wachter will soon be rebuilding the church, not to the Morning Lord, but to the Night Mother. She says that is the future for Valakai, to worship the Night Mother and take her blessings of the night. Many of her friends are joining her cult. I fear that is the future of Valakai now.
The Night Mother? Do you know her?
Yes, she, much like the Lord of Morning, is the Lord of Night, although more mysterious and equally as absent, if I am honest with you. But many still worship her, feeling that she gives powers to those who believe in the dark and accept the way of this land.
I tense up a bit every time she moves over to the windows to look. I don't feel at ease, even though it's nice with some food and relaying these news. I'm not sure I will be able to rest easy tonight.
Certainly sounds ominous, doesn't it? But for now, you continue to eat, and the hour starts to grow late. Erwin nods to you and remarks, You can rest in one of the rooms upstairs, but I urge you not to go outside. You will draw attention. We are being watched, as I said. They've been in their new office. The new guardsmen and these cult members are searching the town, eager to find anyone who is trying to cause trouble. Stand against Strahd. After all, the townsfolk believe that is why we were met with such misfortune, as well as the church people. People died at the festival as well. We lost a lot of people. It's strange, though. The church should have been sacred ground, but his minions were able to enter easily and kill everyone. Something must have been wrong. If only the priest had said.
Well, maybe his minions take all kinds of shapes and beliefs. I don't know if everyone cares about that, and how it would affect everyone. I don't know much about that anyway, I say, and I wipe my mouth with the back of my hand.
Roman, how do you feel about all this news? What do you say?
My worst fears have come true, then. I am ice cold inside, realizing that this is all because of us. All because of the way that we handle this situation. So many innocents are now dead, and a temple to the Morning Lord has been changed into some abomination honoring the Night Mother, or whatever. Whatever it is clearly an enemy of the god that I serve. And through my actions, I have not served the Morning Lord, but I have served that deity instead. It is unacceptable, and I have failed my lord. But I cannot do anything to change that now. Part of me is happy that we won't be sleeping in the stables, at the very least. And perhaps the morning will offer an opportunity to redeem myself, and perhaps still bring the light back to this land. And in that case, what happened to this one city won't matter anymore. It will just be a minor detail. If we can save this realm, then we will have done good, and Lathander will be pleased, and he will be back.
My thoughts wander to Barsrog, the ogre, and the encounter with him earlier during the day. So much happened during this day, and I drink as much as I'm allowed, or as much as I'm offered, and I drink to him.
Indeed. And finally, Erwin leaves you alone. Esmeralda is in the room above, you notice, going over her items, cleaning her weapons. Van Richten comes to you two for a moment and remarks, "There is one more important detail we need to discuss. I'm sure you can understand the tactical advantage of all of us not journeying to the castle at the same time, yes?"
"Yes. We just attract attention, of course," I say thoughtfully, a bit affected by the wine.
"Indeed. Good, I'm glad you understand. Esmeralda, I will need to convince, but I will do so tonight. She would have us all charge gloriously into battle. That is not what we should do. When we get close to the castle, you two should be the vanguard, and we will come from behind. You will approach first, and then within a 20-30 minute time period, we will come after. He will be expecting us all to arrive at the same time. He might not be expecting us to arrive in waves. It might give us an advantage. Do you understand?
Sounds like a plan, I suppose.
Good. Good, yes. We will also need a place to take the horses. There is a little... Just before you arrive at the castle, there's some ruins of what once I assume was a trading outpost of some kind. I passed it on the way there before. It has some ruined stables. It will be a good place to put the horses. But we will discuss more as we move on. But I'm glad you agree with the plan that you two will go first, distract his attention, and then me and Esmeralda will follow behind afterwards.
Do we really want his attention?
You have it already. There is no way... Now, what with the interactions today and the other things, he sees much. Not all, of course. I have told you he's not as omnipotent as he'd like you to think. But he will know when we come to the castle. He'll be watching and waiting, I'm sure.
Right. Right. Well, that sounds like a plan. So, first stop is the ruins. We'll set off. And then we will come. It will come a bit later, yeah. And let's make sure we have all the ideas of entry points and whatever. I say a bit haphazardly, and I bring out my long sword and I start cleaning it as well, oiling it.
Well, unfortunately, you do not have many options there. The main entranceway is over the bridge that crosses the chasm. You have seen, I imagine, from the distance where the castle is, built upon a massive, giant precipice rock, completely surrounded by an almost 200-foot deep chasm all around. Therefore, there is no way to assail its walls unless you were flying, and then, of course, you'd be noticed quite easily. Only the drawbridge is the only way across. Once you are past the main wall, the main entranceway is obvious, but I do recall there was some other grounds to the castle. If you searched around, there might be other entrances. But that would still be once you were within its walls.
I see. Well, that's what we have to work with, then.
What do you think, Rome?
Yes, I wish to study the book one more time, just to see if there's something that can be learned from there. But, well, I suppose it sounds like a plan.
Bring it out and... see all we can learn.
And you will do this and look over the book for a bit more as Rudolph leaves you. You hear some discussion occurring above as you read. Esmeralda does indeed sound like she's not fully on board with that plan. But you... Well, what do you do? Do you go and investigate or do you stay Roshek with Roman as he reads?
I stay with Roman as he reads, trying to... so that we sort of figure out a plan together. Where we should go first.
Yes, and while the discussion does sound heated at times, it quiets down as you stay downstairs. Obviously, they are coming to some understanding. But yes, I suppose, Roshek, you might find it curious. You don't even like this man, really. You're wondering why Esmeralda seems to be willing to put up with his attitude.
Well, that he has this beast for a companion... Somehow that makes me more accepting of him because how the beast has accepted him, because I trust Mishka's judgment somehow. I don't know why. It's a silly notion, but more or less has affected my posture towards him a little bit.
And you read for a while more, Roman, although you are getting tired. You don't really find anything that new, to be honest, although you are, I suppose, looking for things that can help in your entryway. You seem to see some old maps that confirm, old pictures confirm what he said, a drawbridge leading to the walls of this castle, almost completely impenetrable from all sides, as otherwise you'd have to climb almost 200 feet from below the mountain to scale its walls, or fly over. In which case there's battlements and towers waiting for any would-be aerial assaults. Still, you think you do notice that, yes, a main entranceway, and then there seems to be some gates, and it seems there are a few other buildings attached to the castle. Maybe they could be different entry points if you felt the need to enter via those ways.
Yes. I consider our options, and I show Roshek what I have found, and yes, I try to figure out if there would be something better, or to have some kind of alternative plan, just in case things would go sideways with the main plan.
And I try to follow along with the reasoning, but I keep drinking wine, and after a while I start blabbering a bit, and I say, and you know, I once used to travel with an ogre, and then I sort of slump over and on the counter.
I pat him on the head a little bit. Yes, you have mentioned him. I have met him. I turn my eyes back to the book, but my eyes, they are starting to hurt. It is time to go to rest. Yes, tomorrow will be a big day.
It certainly will be. What do you do with Roshek? Do you leave him slumped at the table?
No. I bring him. We have a room, yes? So I shall bring him there and try to put him into his bed, ensure that he doesn't have any heavy armor or anything on, so that he can hopefully get a little bit of rest.
I accept the help. I'm distant and drunk, and try and get things off and go to sleep.
And finally, you both rest, earning yourselves a long rest from the day's many activities. Roshek, your sleep is not the best. You are, after all, a bit drunk. You toss and turn. You find yourself remembering that day. There they were, standing before you. There was your chief at the time, or leader of the group. You tried to stand up to him, but he disagreed with you. He's told you, the Stani must not be crossed, we need to end them. And you stood aside. Do you remember why? Why did you not challenge him more? Did you just not care?
I had previous, let us say, experiences of challenging authority. I kept doing it in the tribe, with the clan, and in the different groups I've been traveling with, because I always thought I'd myself made better, more honorable, more clever decisions. But nothing I'd gotten from it had resulted in anything more than getting beat down, either physically or mentally, often physically, as I was with orcs, after all. And I'd grown tired of it. This last time, I was about to stand up again, wanting to almost take the lead myself. But it's just been too many times where that's resulted in pain and injury and wounded pride. So this time, I let go of it. I let go of my honor. I did what I was told, and I killed them.
Yes, you did. Do you remember? You remember her last words? She was saying something about, I curse you. You paid it little heed, you remember, because of course, so many people say that as their last words. You've heard it many times. But in the dream, you suddenly just remember a detail you didn't quite remember, or you'd put back your mind. You remember she said something after that, just before the blaze slit her throat. She said, I curse you. And she was looking at you, Roshek. You remember? I curse you. to always know your place and the correct path to go on. And then the blood spills from her throat.
And, does that make me wake up?
Yes, although it's still the middle of the night.
I wake up. I feel my head hurts.
Yes, and a little realization comes upon you then. That was the day you started doubting your way in life, wasn't it? You then decided to leave the group you'd been with for years. You decided to go to a town. You decided to follow a man out into the night on a rainstorm.
Yes. That's where things changed. And, I haven't really thought about it too much, how things have changed. I just know it was different.
At least until Madame Eva's tent. After all, since then, you have been feeling yourself again.
Indeed. But still, there's something there. There's something there. To always know the path I am on is correct. What kind of curse is that? I take my wash basin and I rub my face with some cold water. And I lay back down on the bed again, thinking about this. I've not been traveling with a tribe or not the kind of group that I've been with all my life for a long time now. I've been following my own decisions. It is different, even if I'm the same.
Still, you can't help but wonder a little. The man told you he brought you here for a reason. He knew what you did. And you wonder to yourself. You were cursed to always know the way. And that was immediately when you then didn't know the way. Was leaving the tribe the right decision? If you hadn't left that group, would you be here?
Did she inadvertently set me on a path? Or was this her intention all along?
On that note, you fall back to sleep. Roman, your sleep is deeper than Roshek's. And yet, you can't help but replay today's events in your mind. In particular, you think of the boy. They had a son, didn't they? He's dead now. They say he dabbled in things. He deserved his death. What did he dabble in? You recall the dream. You were there. There was something happening. Some magic went off. You can't help but feel that you remember what happened to you. Didn't you say that you'd never again allow such injustices to happen? It was an injustice, after all, wasn't it, what was done to you and your family?
It was.
And yet you have let it happen, haven't you?
Yes.
Again.
I have. I have failed my God, I have failed myself, I have failed my son, I have failed everyone, yet again I stood weak, but I tried this time, I really did. I unleashed everything that I had within me to protect him, but it was not enough. It was not enough. I don't think that I will make it out of this place alive. Perhaps that is just as well. My actions seem to bring only pain to those around me. Perhaps it would be best if I never woke up from this sleep. Perhaps that would be easiest. Perhaps I would see my son again.
And you feel a dark malaise settle upon you, as the shadows of your dreams seem to agree. Yes, Roman. Yes, you have failed all, and nothing you've done has achieved anything. But there's still a different path you can take. Yes, will you consider it? Yes, he will. Before the end, you will, I'm sure. Yes, Yes, and again, that cacophony of voices. Not one strong voice, but many from the shadows. They continue as you sleep deep into the night. And finally, dawn comes. Or, again, the dawn you are becoming so used to now, that seems no different from the night. And you wake and ready yourselves. After all, today may end with you at the gates of Castle Ravenloft, the lair of the devil himself.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the campaign Curse of Strahd for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Curse of Strahd was designed by Christopher Perkins and based on the adventure Ravenloft, written by Tracy and Laura Hickman in 1983. Dungeons & Dragons is published by Wizards of the Coast. The music is created by Metatron Omega, Flowers for Body Snatchers, and Word Clock, and is used with permission from their label Cryochamber. Visit cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more tasty dark ambient. A new episode of Red Moon Roleplaying is released every Friday. Please like our Facebook page and give us feedback, comments, and input there. You can also visit us at redmoonroleplaying.com. Finally, a huge thank you to our growing base of supporters. You are truly amazing and inspire us so much to keep going with the show. If you haven't yet found us on Patreon, please have a look at the links in the description and see if you want to show your appreciation and encourage our work with the show there. While the show will always be free of charge to our listeners, Patreon supporters have access to extra material, such as our bonus Q&A podcast, Ask for the Moon, where we discuss all topics and questions our Patreons have for us. You can even get access to the full-length, raw, and unedited versions of our gaming sessions way before they are released as finished episodes. Thank you for listening. Looking forward to meeting again next week.